Father, we thank you for another time in your presence. I thank you for the great and mighty things you have been doing and you are going to do for us tonight in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Now, as I share your word with your people tonight, I thank you for what you did in the morning. And I thank you for what you are going to do now. I thank you because your word is bringing life to us.
Amen.
And the entrance of your word will bring transformation.
Amen.
There will come forth from this broadcast
Amen.
Abundance of testimonies.
Amen.
In Jesus' precious name I have prayed.
Amen.
Shout amen. Amen. Welcome to another time in the presence of God. This is Overcomers Broadcast. And I thank God for the privilege to bring the word of God to you tonight. So today I'm concluding the series I've been running for over 6 weeks now on the subject of Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who sees to it, the Lord who provides. And this evening, I'm sharing the part two of what I started in the morning, which is provoking divine provision. How to provoke divine provision. Now, I define two terms for you in the morning. The first is, what does it mean to provoke? To provoke is to cause to act or behave in a certain way, to incite or to stimulate. Provision, on the other hand, is anything that is supplied or provided for. Anything that is supplied or provided for. Now, so when I'm talking about divine, divine here represents God. So I am talking about a provision that is from God, provoking God, stimulating God, inciting God, causing God to act favorably towards you in meeting your needs. Now, provision is not limited to finances. Whatever is lacking in your life, whatever represents a need, whatever represents a desire, whatever represents something that matters to you but you don't have, that is what you need God to provide for. So for some people it may be money, for some people it may be children, and for some it may be anything that they desire. But one thing I want to tell you this night is that God is in the business of providing.
Yes.
And he was going to provide for you.
Amen.
In the book of Philippians chapter 4 verse 19, the word of the Lord said, my God shall supply. You know what? God is a provider. God is in the business of supplying needs. And yours is not going to be an exception.
Amen.
Now, the size of the need does not change God, because he's bigger than all our needs. Now, knowing how to stimulate God, incite God into providing for us, especially at such a crucial time as this, the economies of nations are contrasting. Nigeria unemployment rate is on the rise. Joblessness is on the increase. Last week, a young man committed suicide because he lost his job. That is not going to be your portion.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Now, in the morning, I shared the first key with you on how to provoke divine provision. And the first key is living to please God. Living to please God. And in that morning session, I share with you that Elijah experienced divine provision because he said in 1 Kings chapter 17, what Elijah said, the God before whom I stand. Let's go back to 1 Kings chapter 17 from verse 1. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was the inhabitant of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, before whom I stand. That was the basis of divine provision for Elijah. Ha! Before he was not standing before a senator or a governor. He was standing before God. He was living to please God. So in the midst of drought, God led him to the brook of Cherith. I said, those who have trusted in Western world for prosperity will be disappointed now. Because right now, you can't travel. But does not mean that God cannot supply your needs here in Nigeria or anywhere you are. The truth of the matter is that He does not know location. Wherever you are, He can meet your needs. And God still gives location.
Yes, sir.
You see, whenever you hear the word of recession, depression, they are Wotsala. They are just Wotsala. What the summary is of all this, let me just say this to you, is that there is no time in history that money has led the human race. So when you hear of repression, depression, recession, or whatever economic term they call it, it simply means that money is changing direction.
Yes, sir.
It simply means that what used to make money, it may not make money anymore. Now, new thing will begin to cost money to make. So during that transitioning of money or financial system, things will change. This one will contrast and this one will enlarge.
Yes, sir.
So we will know people telling you that, oh, things are hard. In the same season, some are doing well.
Yes.
Some are prospering more. Because money is changing direction. But may it change direction towards you now.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I see it changing direction to you now.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
So the second part is, if you miss that part on Living to Please God, get the message. Go to our YouTube page, Real Grace Chapel International. You can subscribe, download the message, it's there. Go to your podcast on iPhone, subscribe to Pastor John Joseph, you will get it there. Also go to your Android, download Podbean app, subscribe for Pastor John Joseph on Podbean. This is the logo for it. You will also be able to get it there. Amen.
Amen.
Now the second key to provoking divine provision is the key of giving. Now, I do know that the word giving, in fact, some have phobia for it now. Because it's like anything pastor says, you have to always talk about giving. Oh, giving is about robbing us of our resources. No. That something has been abused does not rule out the authenticity of that thing. That something has been abused. I do acknowledge that the word giving has been abused. Some have used it to take advantage of others, to rob others, to incite evil, to do a lot of harm. Now, some churches and some pastors have turned to businessmen and business center. From January to December, it's about giving. So now, when you hear giving, we just turn off. Listen to me. That is what the devil wants. Because, you see, giving is an idea of God. It works. It works. It's a principle to provoking God. Giving provokes God. Now we're going to share something from the Word of God with respect to this. Number one thing I want you to know, that giving is a covenant. And it answers to every man. Even to children of God and those who are not children of God. It's a covenant. And God is not a covenant breaker. God does not break covenants. Now, what kind of covenant does giving fall under? It falls under the covenant of seed time and harvest time. That is what that covenant is. It falls under the covenant of day and night, summer and winter. Follow me into the Word of God, Genesis chapter 8, verse 20 to 22. And we're going to see how to provoke God, divine provision, through giving. And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast, and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offering on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savour. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more of everything living as I have done. Verse 22. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. It's a covenant. It's right there in the Bible. Giving is a covenant. And anytime giving is done, it provokes God. Now you see that this covenant was actually provoked by a man's action. Now, in case you don't understand, God has just wiped the entire world. And what was left was a few things that Noah took in to the ark. Now, some have erroneously taught us that Noah took everything, male and female, male and female. But if you read in Genesis chapter 8, what he took there, male and female only, was the clean animals. So there were both clean and unclean animals. The clean animals are the ones that God loves, that are acceptable unto God. The unclean animals are the ones that God does not reckon with. Now, so the clean animals was the one that Noah took both male and female of. So you could see that there was going to be insufficiency. Now, after the flood was over, here comes Noah with his family and all the animals. And the first thing that Noah did when he came down from the ark was not to begin to eat the animals, was not begin to throw party all around, but was to make an altar and offer a burnt offering unto God. God was not the one that asked him to do it. It was Noah's idea that, looking at what God has done, that let me give back to God. So Noah provoked that blessing with his action. He stimulated God. He caused God to act. He incited God. Look at it again. And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord and took of every clean beast. He did not think of the unclean. He took the best that was not even sufficient. Because by the time he took the male, how would the female reproduce? Or if he had taken the female, how would the male reproduce? Noah went all out for God, because he knew that God is a provider. He trusted God. He went all out and gave the clean animal. And look at it. And the Lord smelled a sweet savour. Giving has a three-dimensional effect. Number one, it has an effect on the giver. Number two, it has an effect on the receiver. And number three, it has an effect on God. Your giving affects God. That is why giving is such a powerful thing. I don't know whether you have experienced it before, that you give a gift to someone and inside you, you begin to have a type of joy. There is this joy that you have in making someone's day, in making someone happy, in being there for someone at the point or in the time of their need. And the person you are blessed in turn is also happy. The person is joyful. The person is excited. And God Almighty looks at both of you and says, now these ones are like me. This is why the devil is fighting giving. This is why the devil wants you to be a greedy person. This is why the devil wants you to be anything but a giver. This is why the devil wants you to rather do all but never see yourself as someone who is capable of giving. Because it makes you be like God. Three-dimensional effect of giving. The giver is blessed, the receiver, and it blesses God too. Amen.
Amen.
2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7 to 8 says, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of a necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Now, because God loves a cheerful giver, look at what verse 8 says. And God is able to make all grace, all favor, abound, flow towards a giver. God is able to make all grace, all favor, all loving kindness, all mercy flow. It will redirect favor. It will redirect loving kindness. It will redirect tender mercy. It will redirect his compassion towards, like a mighty river, to begin to flow towards the one who gives. And look at what it says. That ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Look at it. It's the circle. Same time and harvest time. He said, you know what? He has made all grace to abound towards you, that you always have sufficiency in all things, but not to eat it for yourself, not for you to consume it, but that you may also again in turn abound to every good work. He blesses you so that you can be a blessing. Wealth is not in the amount of cars you have purchased. True wealth is not in sending your children abroad. Your true wealth is measured with how you have been able to be a blessing to others. If all you are is you are blessed to consume on yourself, then you are actually a poor before God. Such a man is poor. A man who is not a blessing to others is a poor man before God. Forget about whatever material thing he has. Haven't you seen that even the rich men, the billionaires of this world, came to terms with it? Microsoft is saying that he wants to give half of his wealth away. They started foundations, blessing, because they realize that money is meaningless, consuming it on yourself and your family and your immediate self alone. It's not fulfilling the purpose. That's why all of them, Warren Buffett, Dan Gote, all of them now, you see them giving, because you realize that the money just sitting there in the account, in the bank. It's useless without, you see, the effect in the life of all those around you. You are going to become a blessing.
Amen.
Now, another thing I want you to know is that God himself demonstrated the blessing that follows giving. Genesis chapter 22, verse 1. And it came to pass after this days that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. God was telling Abraham, give something that is going to shake you, what you love. He said, God was trying to reveal to us the power of behind giving. That it's not about what you are giving, but you are the one that is even going to be blessed more when you give. Giving prospers the giver more than the receiver. It's a principle. So Genesis 22, we are about to see God practically telling us through this story the power behind giving. Why you should never ever become a receiver only person, but a giver and a receiver. Why you should never joke with giving by asking for a very great gift from a man who happened to have believed God for that gift for 25 years. Now look at it. Let's go to verse 11. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven. This is after the man had decided to give the gift, and said, Abraham, and said, here I am. Verse 12, and he said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son. In other words, giving is an expression of the fear of God. That when you give, you are actually saying one of the things that your statement you are making is that, Lord, I fear you. I honor you. Now let's go. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked. And behold, behind him a ram, caught in a thicket by his horns. Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. What do you think some people will do? When they see the ram, Suya has arrived. Free Suya! You see, God was still testing his heart. First, give me your son. He gave it. The second test was now, God provided a ram. I said, now, this ram is not for Suya, it's for me. And Abraham did not bargain with God. Remember, he has traveled 3 days. He must have been hungry. And he has light there. He has fire there. So he could have thought about God, but why can't we divide it into two? I will give you some because I've traveled for 3 days. I've been here. I'm also hungry. If I sacrifice this, what will I eat? But Abraham still gave. That was the second test. The first test was giving his son. The second test was he had another provision, and God said, now let me see whether there was, it was not two ram God provided, it was one ram. He had one son. God said, give me that son. He gave. Then God provided one ram. It would have been easier to sacrifice to God if there were two ram. But there were one, only one ram. And still, God asked Abraham, give it to me. Hey!
Hey!
Give it to me. And Abraham still went ahead and burnt the ram unto God. And look at what happened. Verse 14. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mouth of the Lord it shall be said. Verse 15. And the angel of the Lord called out Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself have I sworn. Ha ha. Saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. And what was that voice? To give. Look at it. Not only was Abraham blessed, his unborn children became blessed. What was this reason? He had a heart to give to God. He was a giver. Today we say, Abraham, blessings are mine. You can claim that blessing and see the total fulfillment if you live a contrary life to that of Abraham. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
Amen, somebody.
Amen.
He had multiplication. Look at what else can he be looking for? Today, every blessing that has ceased to flow to your life, God is opening that door again for you.
Amen.
As you repent and turn to Him.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Now let's look at 5 important truths about giving. Number 1. Giving is one of the most powerful tools God has at His command. One of the most powerful tools in God's command is giving. When Adam and Eve said, and they committed the high treason, and God separated Himself from them, God put up a redemption plan. And in the redemption plan, God would have said, oh, let's send angel. Oh, let me just be God and speak. Because this is what some of us want to do. We want to pray our way only to prosperity without practicing the principle of pleasing God or giving. God would have just, it's God. He would have speak the word and said, now let it come to pass. But God did not do that. Do you know what God did? John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. How come God could not do miracle? He could not pray. He could not say anything. He could just speak the word and everything would change. But he paid the price of giving to bring others. Because when he gave his only son, today God has many children, including you and I. Why? To the gifts. This is what happens when you give. Giving is a weapon. Giving is a tool. That is one of the most powerful tools in the hands of God. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
That is why you should never joke with giving. Hallelujah. Amen. Number two, giving is of the heart and not of the mind. Giving is of the heart and not of the mind. In other words, you don't give because you are rich or poor. It's a matter of the heart. I have even seen that the more richer people get, the more greedy you are likely to become. Giving has nothing to do with how much you have or how much you are earning. Giving is a matter of the heart. So you ask someone who is earning little and yet is a blessing to others, and yet you have another who is earning much and nobody can ever point to him that he has ever been a blessing to them. So giving is not about how much you are, it's about how faithful you are in your heart. So it's not of the might, it's of the heart. Amen.
Amen.
2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1 to 5. I'm going to show you the example of the Macedonian church. They demonstrated this important truth about giving, that it is of the heart and not of the mind. And I will pick up several points from this Macedonian church example. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1 to 5, New Living Translation. Now I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, what God in his kindness has done to the churches in Macedonia. Now, Paul was writing to the church in Corinth and telling them of the church in Macedonia, what the church or churches in Macedonia have been doing. Because the Corinthian church, they were another set of people. In fact, when you read more about the Corinthian church, they had the word, but they were not givers. So you see, it's possible for you to know the Bible. You are quoting the word of God, but you are yet one thing thou lackest. You don't have a giving lifestyle. One thing thou lackest. You don't have a giving lifestyle. So let's look at it. Verse 2. They are being tested by many troubles. They are very poor. Extreme poverty. Poverty to the point of death. I'm explaining what it means. I went back to Paul said that they were extremely poor. They were very poor. That means that they had extreme poverty. In fact, the KJV said the depth of their poverty. That is poverty to the point of death. So this church that Paul was writing about was a church that was extremely poor. They had poverty to the point of death. Hey! Poverty to the point of death. And yet look at what he said about them. But they are also filled with abundant joy, which has overflowed in rich generosity. For I can testify that they give not only what they could afford, but far more. And they did it from their own free will. They begged us again for the privilege of sharing in the gift for the believers in Jerusalem. They even did more than we had hoped for. Their first action was to give themselves to the Lord and to us, just as God wanted them to do. A church that is very poor, poor to the point of death, and yet they still know that giving has nothing to do with where you are. It is a state of your heart. I've heard people say, "Oh, I don't have anything to give. I'm too poor." There is nobody that is too poor to be a blessing to others. To give. Nobody is too poor to give. You always have something to give. You can only say you don't want to give, or you are not giving to this. But all God has blessed every man with the ability to give. It's just that we do not exercise that will. At this point, I want to share the story that Papa Egan shared in one of his books. So when he was a pastor, a young pastor, there was this woman in his church who had a daughter that was could not walk. And this woman was extremely poor, just like the Bible described poverty to the point of death. He said, at that time, this woman can walk the whole day, and all she had was, all she would earn was less than a dollar. She would go and sell some things, you know, just to make ends meet, wash people's houses, and she was earning so little. But she said, he observed something about this woman. That when this woman is coming from work, if there was no church service, this woman will come straight to his house and say, Pastor, this is my tithe and this is my offering. And he said several times when the woman would give the tithe and the offering, he would break down in tears because he felt the woman needed this money more. If there was anyone that should not give, it should be this woman. And on several occasions, he had tried to stop this woman. And the woman said, no. God never said that only rich people should give or only poor should give. God gave every man the opportunity to give as he has given them the ability. Said, according as he has blessed us with. So I'm going to be faithful. I said, this woman never missed a tithe for once. This woman never stopped giving regardless of the hardship or the circumstances. And he used to pray for this woman. So one day, after a church service, the daughter of this woman that she had would have been around 17, but you can easily mistake her for a 5-year-old or a 4-year-old girl. So during service, this daughter will walk and crawl the entire self in the church. And will dirty herself on the pews, on the ground, will roll in the ground. It's a 17-year-old girl. And sometimes she will just slip off embarrassingly in the church. She can lift up her gown and do everything. She behaves like a toddler. Even though she was 17, she had the mind of a toddler. But the mother never allowed that to discourage her. She was still faithful. Then Kenneth Egan said, one day they had a meeting and he made altar call, and this young girl came and gave her life to Christ. After she received salvation, she went back home. The next service, who did they see first? It was this girl. Said, this girl came into the service well dressed, neat, tied it up. Her intelligence sprang up overnight. There was a turnaround. She came back to her senses and she became a full, matured lady. And it wowed everybody in the church. She would sit down well, behave herself, even as though she's now more mature than 17 or 18 year old. I can think of it. Because of that transformation, a young man noticed her. And before you know it, this girl got married. And later on, she became she began to control several estates. And Kenneth Egan said, God rewarded the faithfulness of the mother. What she could have been spending money on the rest of her life, God shut the mouth of that devourer. Listen to me. Maybe you are watching or hearing, and you have this excuse, thinking that, oh, you are the only one with problem in the world. You are too poor to be a giver. It is a lie of the devil to keep you in perpetual poverty. Break out of that mentality today. Break out of that mindset today. And begin to give. Start from everywhere you are around you. See yourself as a giver, because it's the key to becoming blessed. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Number three, giving is an expression of gratitude. Giving is an expression of gratitude. The Macedonian church that Paul referred to were giving because they were grateful to God for sending his word to them. They were givers because they were ever grateful that God remembered them and sent His word to them. What do you mean? Open to Acts chapter 16, verse 6 to 10. Now, when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they are said to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathered that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Giving is an expression of gratitude. The Macedonian church that we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1, they were grateful that God remembered them. They were grateful to God that He sent the gospel to them. And they never stopped giving. Beloved, it is time to start saying thank you to God. It is time to give with the totality of your being. It is time to begin to know that your giving is an expression of gratitude. A man who is not a giver is an ungrateful man. Today, I see that heart, the giving grace, be conferred upon your life. Amen. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
It is being conferred upon you right now.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Oh, lift your hand and just thank the Lord with me. Father, thank you for your faithfulness.
Thank you
for your faithfulness. Thank you for your faithfulness. In the name of Jesus, thank you for your faithfulness. Oh, Lord, we bless you for your faithfulness. In Jesus' name we are praying. Father, I thank you for your people. I would thank you because the old of poverty has been broken over our lives. Thank you. Barrenness has been destroyed. We receive that giving grace. In the name of Jesus. Satan, you cannot hold us bound anymore. We are advancing and moving forward to the giving grace. In Jesus' precious name, I have prayed.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, before I close this broadcast tonight, I'm sure you will see that the account details of the church have been scrolling on the screen. But before then, I want to pray for going to share and always create a watch party. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, Real Grace Chapel International on YouTube. Go there and just subscribe so that you can watch any of this series over and over again. And that you can go to rgc.ng to download this message. It's online. You can see, those of you who are using iPhone, so search for Pastor John Joseph on your podcast, and subscribe on podcast, on Apple Podcast, and all the messages will begin to come there. And if you are using Android, download Podbean, P-O-D-B-A-N. This is the sign for Podbean here. This is the app. This is the sign for the app here. So you download that app and search for Pastor John Joseph. Subscribe. Also subscribe there and keep listening to this message. Jehovah, I'm running on this. It's been a wonderful series, and the Lord has provided for you.
Amen.
See you, and the Lord bless you.
Amen.